Today we're going to begin a series. I'm going to ask if Patty, you could kind of hand those out in this way, and Sandy, can you hand those out on this way? We're going to begin a series on the Apostles' Creed. And you'll go, what is the Apostles' Creed? And the Holy Spirit put it on my heart that we should know what we believe. And the Apostles' Creed was the earliest writing of the Apostle Creed was in the second century, about the middle of the second century. And it was in about the middle of the second century, the first time it was recorded. But the first actual Greek writing, so the middle of the second century is about 140 A.D. About 140 A.D. this was being written. But the original version was written in Greek in around 341 A.D. and then has since been quoted, read, proclaimed from generation to generation. Just imagine these words that you're holding here are over 1,800 years old. 1,800 years old. And when we say these words, this is our opening prayer. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to have it up here too. If you don't have one, it'll be up in the screen. If you don't have one, you can see it up here. But I'm going to ask you to take this home because for the next 6 or so weeks, we're going to work our way through what this statement says. And one thing I want you to think about is when they wrote this, they didn't say, we believe. It's, I believe. I believe. And when we read these words, imagine yourself saying this with a chorus of voices, tribes, nations, languages over 1,800 years. This has been read and said and proclaimed in the church. Let's say it together. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. When I was in seminary, we had to learn and memorize passages of the Bible in Hebrew and Greek. And one of the passages that we had to memorize was these words here, Shama Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Vahata Eit, Adonai Elohika Bako Lavavka Uvko Modeka. That's Hebrew. But it was a it's a little passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Shama Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Vahata Eit. And it says up here, it should be up here, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and all of your soul, and all of your strength. These words were written by Moses to the people, to the Israelites, after they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And these two little verses, Shama Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Vahata Eit, Adonai Uvko Modeka, Uvko Moshika. They were written as The same words when Jesus' disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he said, "Pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The disciples learned the Lord's Prayer, but they memorized. Do you realize that they memorized the Old Testament? They didn't have electronic devices. They didn't have their written word. And really, the only people that had the scrolls were the priests. So they memorized these words. And they taught them to their children, and to their children, and to their children, and to their children. And it was a simple love, hear, shama, hear. In the Hebrew, shama, it means hear or obey. And actually in Hebrew, the word shama means hear, and it meant obey or obey. So we could translate, obey, O Israel, or hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. This is deep theology for those people of the day, because this is called monotheism. That's a big word. Monotheism, there's one God. Not polytheism, where there's many gods. And in our world today, we have many gods. And they said, you're going to build your life on this statement. The Lord your God is one. One God. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Let's finish reading what he wrote there in verses 7 and 8. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as a symbol around your finger and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord. Shama Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Vahata Eid. Don't forget that the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. When you get all the things that you have, your houses, your cars, your wells, your food, be careful. Don't forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and the land of slavery. I was struck this week as I was working on these passages, and really what hit me so hard this week was not Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, because, well, I've memorized those and I know those, but what struck me was verse 12. Be careful. Maybe we should just stop here for today. How often do we forget what the Lord our God has provided for us? It says that he's brought us out of slavery. We sang a song, "In my Father's house, there are many rooms." They're really singing John chapter 8, verse 32. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. If you know the truth sets you free. So often we forget the truth, and we worry and we doubt and we are wrapped in fear Our New Testament reading comes from the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. It's called the Hall of Faith. And I would encourage you this week to take your Bibles, take and read this week. You can go and read Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the words that Moses gave to the people as they entered into the promised land. But go and read chapter 11 and chapter 12 of Hebrews. Chapter 11 is called the Hall of Faith, but it's really about faith. And we're going to be, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about really what faith is. I believe. What is it that you believe? Who do you believe? How do you believe? Why do you believe? Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed by God's command. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That's the first line of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. We believe that the universe was formed by God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Well, that's deep theology. I'm going to skip all the way to the end, but 23 times in Hebrews, it's by faith Enoch, by faith Abel, by faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Noah, by faith Moses, by faith Sarah, by faith Rahab. 23 times the word by faith is used. By faith, walls fell down in Jericho. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea when it was flooded. By faith, it says that the women were given back their dead. 23 times by faith. He ends this, the writer of Hebrews says, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Verse 35, women received back their dead, raised alive by faith. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what they had promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. I believe. I believe. This statement, the first writings of it, about 140 AD. The actual full statement was written by, I have it in my notes, by a man who was writing to the Bishop of Rome in 341. They have a full manuscript from 341 of this, of these words. The words you're holding are as old as 140 AD. Of course, the Bible we hold is even older. But when we read these words, they proclaim what they believe. And many of them gave their life. They gave their homes. They gave up a lot to say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. There's a, and I'm not trying to be political, but I'm passionate about what we do. I love the Bible and I love God's word. And over the last few years, all we hear this little catchphrase, this rule of law. This is rule of law, rule of law. Do you realize that in the first and second and third centuries, this was called the rule of truth? It was called the rule of truth or the rule of faith. Maybe we should, what would happen in our culture today if we really knew the rule of truth? Not the rule of law. We need the rule of law, but, or the rule of faith. Does this document give you faith? Faith is the assent to something unseen. Faith is the knowledge, or actually faith is putting our trust not in something, but someone. Faith is putting our trust not in something. I know I can sit down in this chair and it'll hold me. But faith is putting our trust in someone. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ, his one and only begotten Son, who is crucified and dead and buried, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the giver of life. We proclaim what we believe. I believe in the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. I believe. I went to seminary and I learned Greek and I learned Hebrew and I learned church ethics and I learned polity and I learned pastoral care. But what I learned in seminary, I didn't learn in a textbook. I learned in seminary a little word, trust. Because see, I went to seminary when I was 40, so you all know that I'm 65. When I was 40, I was a self-made man, and I didn't need anyone, I didn't trust anyone, and I trusted myself. I had two company cars, I had insurance, I had a house, my kids were doing, I don't think they lacked anything. But when I went to seminary, God taught me how to trust. And trust is really what faith is. Faith says, I'm going to trust you with my life. I'm going to trust you with my finances. I'm going to trust you with my health. I'm going to trust you with my children. Do you know that God loves your children more than you love your children? He loves your husband more than you love your husband. Can we put in God's hands the things that we're holding on to? Because see, that's really what faith is. Can we put our finances in God's hands? Can we put our family in God's hands? Can we put our health in God's hands? When we're holding on to all the things we think we need to hold on to, there's really no room for God to fill our hands. I learned trust, and it's this word up here, trust, to rest under salvation's tree. To rest under salvation's tree. Faith is the evidence of things not seen and the assurance of things hoped for. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ, the only one, only begotten Son of the Father. We believe in a lot of things in our culture. An atheist believes there's no God, and that's their belief. A Buddhist believes in Buddha. The Hindus believe in karma. The Muslim believes in Allah. But we, what do you believe? Why do you believe? How do you believe? And when do you believe? This confession, this creed, the word creed comes from the Latin word credo, and it means I believe. Creed. The Apostles' Creed. I believe. It's not plural, we believe, because see, faith is personal. You can't have my faith, and I can't have your faith. You can't have your parents' faith. You can't have your children's faith. You get your own faith. What do you believe? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. He's one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. This was an early, some people have asked how did it become the Apostles' Creed, and it's not really the one, you know, the tradition was that each of the 11 apostles put a line in the Apostles' Creed. Well, like Peter wrote the first line, and Andrew wrote the second line, and John the third line, and James and Nathaniel and Matthew. No, that's not possible. But it became a creed because Jesus, when Jesus was here, they didn't need a creed because he was their creed. But when he left, they started writing down what they believed. And the Apostles' Creed doesn't supersede the Bible. They gave it in the early church to verify, to validate what they believe. It was a simple statement of faith. And it's Trinitarian. You believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and the works of his grace and mercy. Actually, it became, for the early church, it became the confession that they used when they baptized converts into the faith. Because the great commission that Jesus gave was go and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them all I've commanded you. And so they started, when someone came to Christ, they would teach them this profession of faith, this Apostles' Creed. And they had to memorize it. They had to memorize it. And then when they memorized it, they went out into the river, and the pastor would say, what do you believe? And they would say, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And they would go down under the water. And they would come back up wet in a new life. And they'd say, what do you believe? And they would say, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead and buried, and on the third day he rose again from the dead, and he sits on the right hand of God Almighty. They'd put him back in the water and bring him back up. And they say, what do you believe? And they go, I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And they would go back under the water the third time and come back up into a new life to signify their belief. In 2005, I went with a mission team to Peru, and we built a church. And while we were there, the people, the Peruvian Indians, wanted to be baptized. And we were in a village called, we built the church in Leticia, but we went up to Canta. Canta's up in the Andes, about 10,000 feet up in the Andes. And they wanted to be baptized. They put on white robes and walked out into this mountain stream at 10,000 feet. The water was freezing. And we're standing in the middle of the stream, and we'd say, ¿Cómo se llama? What's your name? And we'd say, what do you believe? And they would stand in this freezing water, and they would proclaim to their family and their friends and their neighbors on the shore, I believe in God, Father Almighty. And they would go under. What do you believe? I believe in Jesus, his only son. They would go under. I believe in the Holy Ghost. They would go under. What? I'll never forget their lives being transformed by what they believe. So what? Over the next 6 weeks, it's my prayer that you'll know what you believe. That you be careful. Don't forget what the Lord, your God, has done for you. When he brought you out of slavery into a new life. Let us pray. Lord, we believe. And as the Roman centurion said, Lord, help our unbelief. Lord, help us to really believe and put our belief not just in faith, in something, but in someone. Let our belief be an anchor for our life. As we give you our finances, as we give you our family, as we give you our future, as we give you our hopes and dreams, we proclaim, I believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing, I believe. God the Father.